Welcome to the Let's Go Full Steam Ahead podcast. On today's episode, we're featuring a coffee and conversation that originally aired on my Instagram channel, Sierra Marie Bond. In this conversation, I sat down virtually with Kiara Page, the owner of the Instagram handle Coding with Ki and of the YouTube channel Kiara Page, where she talks about cybersecurity, which she's a cybersecurity intern at Boeing. She talks about being a woman in STEM fields, which we talked about a lot in this episode. I can't wait for you to hear all of the tips and advice that we share. And she also shares how to get involved in computer science and what it's like to take a coding class. And so be sure to give her a subscription. Go follow her on YouTube at Kiara Page and follow her on Instagram at Coding with Ki. I cannot wait for you guys to hear today's episode, so let's dig in.
Can you hear me okay?
I can. Welcome.
Hi, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited too. So thank you for agreeing to chat with me today. It is, for everyone watching, Data Privacy Day, and I know that's something that I want to ask you a whole bunch of questions about in a couple of seconds. But Data Privacy Day is an international celebration to make sure that not only individuals are maintaining their privacy and keeping everything in check on their end, but also a way to keep companies in check and make sure that they are being responsible with the data that they are collecting from their customers and their clients. So today is a way to just raise awareness for that sort of thing. And I'm so excited to have you here to talk about data privacy, cybersecurity, and I love your STEMinist like lamp thing in the background. That is so cute. I want to talk to you about being a woman in STEM too. So for everyone who is jumping on, we are just getting started. Welcome to Coffee and Conversation. We have Kiara here today. Oh, I love your mug. That's so cute.
Thanks. It's from Target.
Perfect. I am, I live too close to Target. I just recently moved and I'm literally like 5 minute drive away. So
oh my gosh,
I go way too often.
They have the cutest coffee cups. You would never guess, but they do.
That's true. It's true. So could you, do us a favor and introduce yourself, kind of tell us your story and let everyone know who you are.
Yeah, so my name's Kiara. For anybody who doesn't follow me, any of Sierra's followers, I'm assuming, you know, we have some people from both sides too, so I think you should introduce yourself as well. But my name's Kiara. I am a content creator here on Instagram and over on YouTube, and I'm also a software engineer / cybersecurity analyst. I kind of wear both hats. And I work for Boeing Space out in LA. And yeah, I just kind of make videos. I work and I also go to school for computer science. So that's me.
Wonderful. And you go to school at Wichita State.
Yep.
That is how Kiara and I kind of interacted for the first time, is I also attend school at Wichita State. So for those of you who don't know me, hello, I am Sierra Bond. I am an engineering technology management student at Wichita State. I'm in my last semester, thank goodness. Ooh, can't wait to graduate. So and I am very passionate about encouraging women to get involved in innovative fields like technology, like engineering, like science, math, art, all of the innovation that can happen. I believe women should be actively involved. And so I run a nonprofit called Let's Go Full Steam Ahead, where I get to chat with others and empower the next generation of innovators. So part of that means getting to know movers and shakers in the industry right now, which I think you are one of them. So could you tell us a little bit about your story getting into just computer engineering, computer science, cybersecurity? Like, did you wake up one morning and you were just like, this is for me? Or was it something that kind of happened over time?
So I always knew I wanted to do something in STEM, and space was always something that really intrigued me. And both of my parents are engineers, so I very much have grown up around engineering and just STEM. And my mom is obviously a woman in STEM. And so I always knew that was a really important thing that I wanted to be involved in. And so I started college. I was a mechanical engineering student. And I, you know, I was interning, I was taking all the classes. And I think I got to like my first semester of junior year, and I was starting to like look for like, okay, what career do I actually want to do? Like, what jobs do I actually want to go do? And, I was kind of applying here and there, and I realized that, like, all the jobs that I wanted to do had nothing to do with mechanical engineering. They all had to do with computer science. And, I wanted to work for, a company. I just wanted more freedom. Mechanical engineering is kind of limited in terms of like what you can actually do and where you can work. And I'm a person who like loves all things. So I love space, but I also love makeup. I also love, video games. And I found myself kind of trapped in a box when I was majoring in ME, and I was like, huh. And my wheels kind of started turning. And then one day at my internship, my boss assigned me a project. And he was like, okay, so we're going to automate this, reporting process, and you're going to use Visual Basic. So I'm going to need you to learn that and just go do it. And I was like, okay, I have no idea how to code, no idea about anything that has to do with that. And I, started figuring it out, and it was probably like 3 months. And by the end of the 3 months, I was like, I'm changing my major. I'm doing it. I'm out. And so literally like the day after I finished that project, I went and I changed my major. And from then on, I kind of just accidentally fell into cybersecurity. I knew somebody at a company, and she was like the hiring manager. And I ran into her one day. And she was like, I heard you changed your major to computer science. And I was like, yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing though. I went out on a limb. And she was like, well, actually, I have an opening for like an internship for somebody, for computer science, if you want me to like get you an interview. And I was like, sure, that'd be great. And it just happened to be like a cybersecurity internship. And the first day they were like, so what do you know about cybersecurity? And I was like, well, I know you should like have your password be long. That's what I said. And they were like, oh my God. Like,
I love
but
that.
yeah, so they took a chance on me, and here we are. I think I'm a year and a half into majoring in computer science, and I'm 2 semesters away from graduating, and here we are. That's the story.
That is awesome. That is, I find, so I've gotten to talk to quite a few different people just through Let's Go Full Steam Ahead and talking to different women in STEAM and STEM. And a lot of them find what they really enjoy, at least from what I've experienced and what I've talked to them about. They find what they enjoy after they've found what they really don't enjoy. So it's, yeah, I find it interesting that that happened to you. It's the same thing that happened to me. I was 1 semester away from graduating with a biomedical engineering degree, and I was like, actually, spending the next 20, 30 years of my life doing this is not how I would like to spend the next 20 or 30 years of my life. And so I freaked out all of my advisors and was like, I'm gonna stay here forever and I'm gonna get a different degree. And so I, like you, went to something I enjoy doing a little bit of everything. So engineering technology management, for those of you unfamiliar with the field, it's not being bossy. It's managing different projects, and it can be any kind of projects. It's just helping those projects be run efficiently and effectively and helping the end consumer. So that could be building a rocket, managing that project. It could be coordinating a curriculum series. It could be designing a pacemaker. All of those different projects are all interests of mine. But because I'm an engineering technology management student, I can help manage those teams, so I get a little bit of everything, which is something that I really enjoy. So I do want to talk to you. You mentioned your internship and the journey there. What do you do?
So I actually have 2 internships right now. It's kind of crazy. I haven't really talked about the second one yet, but I will. I just haven't gotten around to it. But so the more interesting one is at Boeing Space. It's in LA, and I completely fell into that internship on accident as well. I was actually at the Society of Women Engineers conference in Anaheim last year, or I guess 2 years ago now. And I don't know if you've ever been to that conference.
I haven't yet, no.
You have to go. It's life-changing. But essentially, what it is you have, like, a bunch of technical sessions and lots of networking events, and then they also have the biggest career fair for women in STEM in the world. And so you have all of these big, literally every company you could think of is here hiring women in STEM. And, you know, you have Google, Apple, Nike, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, you know, name it, Tesla, everybody is there. And also you have, like, smaller companies as well. But I just named the big ones for the shock value. But,
right.
You know, so I'm there, and Boeing is one of the biggest booths, obviously. And, you know, I was like, there's no way, like, that, you know, there's no way. And I was like, you know what, just for, like, kicks, I'm gonna go drop off my resume at the Boeing booth. And I walk up, and, you know, you have your elevator pitch, and I'm like, hi, I'm Kiera. I'm in school for computer science, and I'm interested in doing cybersecurity. And she was like, okay, let me send you over to these guys. Can you hear me okay, by the way?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can?
Yeah.
I'm afraid this is, like, rustling on my bangs. So let me know. I can take them out.
Coming through clear.
Perfect. Okay. So anyways, she was like, I'm going to send you over to these two guys. Long story short, that ended up being my boss and my boss's boss. And, you know, hundreds of people interviewed for that same position. And to this day, I have no idea how I got chosen. I think it's because I just had so much internship experience already, because I started interning before I even got to college. And so by that point, I had, like, 2 years of actual experience, and I was only a junior by then. And so it's pretty good. It was a pretty good amount of experience for somebody my age. And I think that just stood out to them. I've worked in space before. I've worked in aerospace, you know, so and then COVID happened, the internship ended up going virtual, and here we are. And in that role, there's kind of two sides of cyber. There is the offensive side and the defensive side. So the offensive side is the people trying to do pen testing, or the people actively trying to hack a system to see where the vulnerabilities are in the system. So that's one side of it. And then the other side is defensive, and that kind of encapsulates everything else. So the people who are doing system upkeep and, you know, updating systems, looking out for vulnerabilities, pretty much everything else, just like sports kind of. I don't like sports, but it's that idea.
It's a good analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. So at Boeing, I was doing offensive cyber. So we were writing software to do pen testing. So that's why I say I kind of wear both hats. And then my other internship was actually my old internship, the one that I told you about. I ended up going back to do a co-op type thing to just work during the school year. They contacted me a few months back and asked if I would come back. And I was like, yeah, it's COVID. I'm not doing anything. Like,
I like money.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, who cares? I'll do it. But I also wanted to tell you a funny story about you that I've never told you before.
Okay.
So when I first got to college, so for everybody watching, our school does kind of, like, groups before you go in, and, you know, it's, like, the orientation type thing, and you all get put in the group so you can, like, make friends, and then the people leading each group are called transition mentors. And, you know, I'm such a nervous person. Like, I don't like change. I don't like the first day of things. And so I remember that day, I'll never forget it. Because it was such a scary day for me. But, you weren't my transition mentor, but you were another group's. And I remember, like, you all introduced yourselves, and you were like, I'm Sierra. I'm, like, a engineering student or whatever. And I was like, it was, like, such a relief to me to see that, like, there was, like, somebody in STEM who was a woman, and you were, like, fun and charismatic and, like, just leading the pack. And I was like, that's inspiring. And so you've always been a person who I've looked up to since, like, literally I was 17 or 18. So.
Oh, that just warms my heart. Being a transition mentor or the orientation leader, specifically for engineers, was something that I've always valued as part of my engineering journey. And a lot of people, like, you're literally like a cheerleader for kids. Like, what, for new students to the university, why is this so valuable to you? And, you know, for me, it is all of those moments. I remember coming to my orientation, and I was the only girl in my group for orientation at, like, of all the engineers there, I was the only girl. And so that was overwhelming to me. And when I had applied to be a transition mentor, I talked about that. I was like, please assign me to the engineers because I'm an engineer. And it's very important that I had my transition mentor who was a girl. She was the other girl in engineering. It was very important for me to see her. I want to be able to help other people realize that anyone can be an engineer. They can be a loud redhead with glasses who dresses up and does pageants on the weekend. They can be, you know, a super introverted person who loves spending time at the library. Like, an engineer can be anyone. And it's a job that I actually ended up having for 4 years. I wasn't supposed to stay that long, but I really loved my job. And so I'm so glad that, it was as important to you as it was to me to be able to see someone.
Yeah, kind of totally.
The whole role of being a woman in STEAM.
Yeah. And I think representation is so important. You know, race, sexual orientation, you know, whatever it is. I think it's so important to see somebody doing what you want to do who looks like you or acts like you or talks like you or whatever it may be. And that's a huge reason why I started YouTube. And I think it's just important across the board, like, no matter what it is, for, like, all women, all men, all whoever, to not have, like, not feel out of place or alone, and that you can see somebody who looks like you and just, you know, just have an example. And I think it's so important. So
absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that. So for everyone who's joined on, welcome to Coffee and Conversation. Feel free to leave your comments in the box below, but the pinned comment is actually the link to subscribe to Kiara's YouTube channel. So please give her a follow, like, and subscribe. Do all of the YouTube things. I'm on YouTube, but I don't have all the lingo down. but give her a follow. And I do want to talk about the sense of community that you've been building. So can you kind of outline for everyone why you picked YouTube as something to do, what you do on YouTube, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I started YouTube literally a year ago. It was last February, so before, like, literally right before COVID hit. I was just feeling very alone at school. I was a few semesters into computer science, and once you get into those higher level courses, the, you know, just the number of people in general dwindle down, and especially the number of women in your classes dwindle down. And literally all of my classes, I was the only girl, literally every single one of them. And that's not to say that I didn't have friends, and, like, I didn't have guy friends. Like, I love my guy friends, but, you know, it's just different. And I was just feeling alone, and I really was feeling like, I don't have any friends. Like, I feel like I really don't have, like, a community of people and whatever. And so actually one of the reasons I changed my major to computer science is because I was on YouTube one day and I was watching, like, day in the life videos, and I stumbled upon this girl's videos, and she was a Google intern. And I literally watched every single one of her videos, and it literally changed my life, because I changed my major, like, really because of her. If I wouldn't have found her videos, I would have never changed my major. And so I was, like, in this place of, like, okay, I feel very alone, and I feel like I could genuinely make a difference doing this, because she, at the time, she was literally the only girl in computer science making videos on YouTube. And I know that's hard to believe, because there's so many videos on YouTube, right? Like, niches are essentially non-existent at this point. And I was like, gosh, if I'm feeling like this, I bet a million other people are feeling like this too. I bet there is so many girls in high school or in the same place as me looking for videos by women in computer science, trying to decide if that's right for them. And so I was like, maybe I'll just like make a day in the life video and I'll just put it up and like if just 200 people, that was my goal. I was like, if 200 people see it, I will have made a difference. Like, I will have really made a difference if just 200 people see this video. And so I took my camera to school one day and it was so embarrassing. And this was when college in person was still a thing. And I, took my little camera and I was like walking around, like filming myself. And it was so embarrassing. But I didn't care.
But you
I was
did it,
there with a
yeah.
purpose, I was owning it.
Yeah.
And so I filmed the video. I edited it and I showed it to my mom. I showed it to like my friends before I posted it. And I was like, gosh, this is really embarrassing. Like, I don't know if I actually want to do this. And I decided to post it and I posted it on Instagram and I was like, hey, I posted this video. Like, if anybody wants to watch it, whatever. Well, fast forward to now, that video has 30,000 views. And I've grown a community of almost 6,000 people over there. And it's just so much fun. And it's a place where I can share my daily life. I can share like my internship experiences and I can make educational videos about, resumes and note taking and studying and how to get an internship and all the stuff that I didn't have when I was younger. And so that's essentially like the basis of the whole channel is I'm just making the videos that I would have liked to see when I was younger and about what I needed to know when I was younger. And so that's the basis of the whole channel, and I'm still doing it. And it's just really fun and it's like a creative outlet. So
I
yeah.
love that. Full transparency. I did binge watch like 10 of your videos last night. Just
Did
because
you
I
like
like
them?
I of course I love them. And I watched your first video first. And I thought, first off, because it's a pandemic, like I forget what life was like without wearing masks and like walking around in classes and stuff. So my first thought was, why aren't they socially distancing? But like once I realized, oh yeah, this is like a year ago. In the before times,
Yeah.
I was really enjoying how personal and how vulnerable at times you were being with your journey and your just daily activities, both as a computer scientist and a computer engineer, but also just like as a woman and the intersection of those two things. I think that for me, a lot of the little ones that I chat with. Some of them, are really young, so they don't understand like work-life balance or
Yeah.
having responsibilities because they're like in fourth grade. But, the high schoolers that I talk to, a lot of them have a lot of insecurities about like how do they balance makeup and engineering, or how do they
Yeah.
balance like maintaining a healthy lifestyle and maintaining good grades? Like a lot of these are really important questions that a lot of people grapple with, like not just women. A lot of people
Yeah.
grapple with these things. So I love that you've been creating a community and just like showing what you do and how
Yeah.
you thrive in this and how just the whole journey of it. Because I think, especially on social media, this is something I've been thinking about for a while, but especially on social media, there's like a highlight reel, right? Like we only
Right.
post our best moments or our like award-winning moments or something like that, and very few people talk about all the obstacles that come up and all the note-taking required to ace the test. They just post acing the test, right?
Right.
So I love that you are being open and kind of paving the path for others to not necessarily follow your journey, but to find their own journey through watching
Right.
your journey, if that makes
Yeah,
sense.
that totally makes sense and I totally agree. I think a lot of the videos that you'll find on YouTube about computer science and obviously like the same goes for engineering and like all STEM fields is that like most of the videos are made by men. And most of the videos are like just, you're right,
Dry.
like highlight reels, and they're
Yeah.
boring. And it's just like, okay, congrats, you wrote code and then you did this and that. Great, like. And honestly, like that was what not to do. Like in my mind, I was like, this is the picture of what I don't want to show on YouTube. Like, and I so the longest video I ever uploaded to YouTube was last semester, and it was like a week in my life, either midterms week. Yeah, it was midterms week. And I literally just showed like every moment of it. And I literally showed like me after taking the final, like my face is beet red. And I was like, I think I just failed that test. Like, I don't know what just happened. It was so bad. And I think those moments are so important to show that, like, it's not all success. It's not all easy breezy. Like, I'm gonna write this code and I'm gonna go work at Google and that's it. It's so hard. It's so hard. And you don't have to be a genius. You just have to be a hard worker. And that's what I wanted to show on my YouTube channel is that you don't have to be Einstein to, get a biomedical engineering degree or get a computer science degree or, whatever. It's like, you just gotta be a hard worker. Doesn't matter who you are. Gotta be a hard worker, and that's it.
Completely agree. I think there's also a, with that determination, I think there's also something to be said about having a reason that you're doing this. And I think that is kind of what helps carry that determination through. Like for me, for example, the reason I'm still in engineering when many, many times I was like, maybe I'll just get a business degree or something. I'll take the easy way out. No offense to business students, but like in my mind, like engineering is hard. I specifically for myself really struggled with chemistry too. That's a separate issue for
I
another
struggled with
life.
Chem one.
It's hard. There are just some topics that come no matter how hard you work, sometimes you don't learn the way that the professor teaches, and that was something that it took me a long time to learn. But I think that there's a if you have a passion or if you have a why, a lot of people call it just like having a why. To your getting a degree or to your YouTube channel. Like you said, if I impact 200 people, I'll have made an impact. Having a why is so important. As this is just advice, I guess, for whoever's watching. If you know why you're doing something, it becomes easier to do it. So for me, I work with, in the pre-COVID times, I was able to go visit schools and I would hang out with third through fifth graders and teach them how to code using Lego robotics. Side note, today's National Lego Day. Happy Lego Day.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
But I would teach them how to make robots out of Legos and teach them very rudimentary block coding, you know? So it was a great way to expose kids early to computational thinking. Like, yeah, it's not Python, but it is showing them, you know, cause and effect, and showing them if we have the robot turn right, what will it look like in the code, that kind of thing. And one little girl, after the very first day that I was there, she was a fifth grader, her name's Mia, and I love her dearly. She was like, "Hey, you're an engineer, right?" And I was like, "Well, I'm an engineering student, but yeah, I hope to be an engineer one day." And she's like, "So does that mean I can be an engineer?" And I said, "Absolutely, Mia, you can do whatever you want." And she's like, "And you go to Wichita State, right?" And I was like, "Yes, I love it. Go Sharks." And she said, "So when I go to Wichita State to be an engineer, will you be my professor?" And I was like, "Yeah, I will, of course, Mia."
Wasn't planning
Yeah, I
on
wasn't
it,
going to be a professor because I kind of hate life, but yeah, I'll be a professor for you, Mia. Like, and that's my why, right? Like, everyone has a different. And it doesn't have to be a sob story like little Mia, who is now an eighth grader at an engineering magnet school because she really wants to be an engineer, and it just blows my mind. I love her so much.
and you did that. You inspired her to do that. That's so cool.
Thank you. And I think everyone has a why like that. And it may not be the exact same story, right? Like everyone has something, and if you don't have it yet, that's okay. I believe part of life is figuring out that why. Like, you're not born with it. Like, I wasn't born with that experience with Mia. It took me until I was 20 something years old, right? We all have the chance to find that, and that's what your journey is about. And that's why I love that you're sharing your daily life. You show all of those moments that you're finding your determination and you're continuing your determination and all of those things. So I just want to say thank you. I haven't done that enough. Thank you for sharing your story on YouTube. It's so important for young women, young boys, everyone to see what it's like just living life in STEM.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. I think it's, you know, I always say that the channel is not about me. Like, it's not about me as a person. It's about, you know, the experiences that I can show to the world. And I don't say that in like a high and mighty way. You know, it's just like, here's what this could look like for you, you
Yeah,
know?
no, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so it's cool. I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know, through all the hate comments and all the crap that goes on the internet, I wouldn't trade it for the world. So I love it.
Well, good. I'm so glad. So someone I had changed the pinned comment. So apparently you can't click the link that I had shared. So whoever asked me to share the
Oh.
YouTube channel name, her name is Kira Page. So just type that into YouTube and you'll find it. Sorry, I tried to make it easy, but I'm still learning how Instagram works
I know I'm
sometimes.
new to Instagram lives too. I've only done like two or three, and even then it's like there's so many buttons and it's like
And they just added more over here on the side that I'm like, I don't
yeah
know what this means. I don't
yeah
want to mess anything up.
yeah
But if anyone has any questions or something, I will try and swing through the comments every now and then. But thank you. I think that's Kaden who commented. You guys are exactly right. Passion and gumption is all it takes. You really, no one is born an engineer. No one is born a scientist. No one's born a mathematician. You have a natural talent for various things, but talent only works as hard as you do.
It's
So
true.
for anyone watching, you can do anything you want. You
Yeah.
just gotta work for it.
Yeah. It's so true. And I think that's a huge misconception is you have to be really, really smart to like do these things. When like I've seen the smartest people I know crumble in engineering or in computer science. And like only like God-given talent can get you so far. And I totally agree with you. Like you gotta have I would say it's like mostly hard work and a little bit of natural, you know, ability, you know?
Right, for sure.
But it's not one or the other. You gotta have a little bit of both to get you through.
Someone asked a question. I think you'd be really good to answer this. So it says, can I apply to internships while in university? I'm currently studying software engineering.
Well, I'm assuming because you said uni, you're not in the States. You're probably in like England or something. So I can't speak to that, but I will say internships are meant for college students so that you can have real experience by the time you graduate. So yes, you can of course apply for internships when you're in uni.
I definitely agree. I think internships are super helpful to getting that hands-on experience. You learn a lot of theory in the classroom, I think, and it's really nice to have an applied version of what you're learning. So if
Yeah.
that's an internship or a co-op, so that's usually like a job that you have already, or a job that you get outside of internships that you can apply for a
Yeah.
university credit. Every university is different though, so don't quote me on that. But there are a lot of opportunities. I would say though, based off my internship experience, I highly recommend getting an internship that will pay you, and not just require your free labor. It's not really fair to make people work for
Yeah.
free just to say you're getting an experience out of it. So don't, I mean, do what you want, but my advice is to make sure that you're getting adequately compensated. Sometimes that looks like a paycheck at the end of every week, or it's tuition assistance, or it's something, but make sure that you're getting compensated for the work that you do, because it's
Yeah.
work.
And I also think something a lot of people don't mention about internships is not only is it important to apply like what you've learned in the classroom, but it's also important to just learn like professional skills and like how to send an email, how to like talk to your boss, how to like be a good employee. And I think that is equally as important because I can't imagine like if I wouldn't have had an internship in college, like graduating, like the learning curve would be so steep. So definitely get an internship.
Absolutely. And there's one thing that you mentioned when you were telling your story about how you got an internship at Boeing. You mentioned an elevator pitch. So for those of you who are unaware of what that term means, an elevator pitch is usually a 30-second to a minute max statement of purpose or a summary, an introduction about yourself that you can use when talking to recruiters for a new job or just introducing yourself at a networking event or even a bio on Instagram, right? So can you tell me a little bit about your process in creating your elevator pitch or any advice you have for people who might want to create one?
Yeah. So first of all, hi, Dylan. Dylan lives in Ireland. He's so cool. I love Ireland. So he's spitting facts down in the comments. So anybody from like the European area, Dylan's your guy. but yeah, so elevator pitches. So an elevator pitch is really, really important at things like job fairs. Because you want to give people like a full perspective of who you are and what you're about in like a very like just you introducing yourself. And so like my elevator pitch is like my name, my school, my major, and what I'm interested in. And that's like 15 seconds or 10 seconds. So you just really want to have like a really concise way to share who you are and what your goals are. Because if you're talking to somebody at like a job fair, they need to know who you are and where they need to send you to do what you want to do. You know what I mean? So elevator pitches are super, super important, and they're super, super easy to like make, and they're really effective. And so yeah, I'm all about elevator pitches.
They're very effective at a phrase that a lot of people use is you want to communicate your bottom line up front. So in your example, you say what you're interested in, and that's your bottom line. You're like, I'm not going to work in finance because I'm not an accountant. So your bottom line is I'm interested in cybersecurity. And that is a way to let people know, whoever you're talking to, that networking person, that HR department, that recruiter, what your bottom line is, and to know how they can help you. And because that's something that it took me a long time to learn. People are there to help you. Like, they're not out to hurt you. Like, they're looking for someone who will be really good in their department or at their company. So they want to help you find out if you're that person for the job.
Right.
We had another question that says, which one engineering department is better, software and computer engineering? I'm going to guess software or computer engineering is what you meant. Do you want to take that one?
Well, the difference between the two is software is going to be more like coding based. So you're literally like designing, developing, and, you know, upkeeping software, like literal software. And then computer engineering is like physical components of a computer. So like you're physically focusing on how a computer is built. That's my understanding of the difference. So I really think it just comes down to personal preference. It's not really one or the other. I think they're both really cool in different ways. Personally, I'm a theory person who likes coding, and I like the theoretical side of things, but a lot of people like to see like how things physically get put together and how that affects the way a computer runs. So it kind of just depends on your preference, I would say.
Completely agree. And it kind of goes back to the conversation we had a little while ago about what's your why? Why are you getting a degree? What do you want to do after you're done with university? Like, what's the plan there? Or why are you still doing your degree? So I think that'll help if you're kind of caught between software or hardware, focusing on what the end goal is for you. And that'll kind of help you sort through which department may be better for you to pursue.
Yep. I totally agree.
So kind of on that note of software engineering, coding, a big push right now is to get women more involved in tech and more involved in coding. And there's lots of different free resources about teaching yourself to code and just coding in general. What is coding? You know, I've worked with code.org before. There's Khan Academy that you can learn. There's 100 Days of Code. So what advice would you give to someone who's like, this conversation has been interesting. I'm interested in learning about cybersecurity and coding, but I have no experience. What advice would you give that person?
So I would say if you're interested in coding, there is so many free like opportunities to just dip your toes in the water. My personal favorite one is freecodecamp.org. And so before you put any money into like a course or like going to college or a coding boot camp, I would say just free code. There's tons. That's obviously just one. You could obviously Google like free ways to learn coding or whatever, but freecodecamp.org is a great one. And honestly, just try it out. See if you like it. And if you don't, that's completely fine. If you do, then you can, you know, take that next step to like do a Udemy course or, you know, a Khan Academy course, or maybe even go to college or go to a coding boot camp and that sort of thing. So yeah, there's tons of ways to just test the waters to see if you actually would be interested.
Right. I love that. So we actually got a good question that was going to be my next question. So good job on whoever asked that. It's how can I get started in cybersecurity? What are the steps? Best way to start? What do I focus on for a specific area of cybersecurity?
So I have a video on my channel. It's called Beginner's Guide to Cybersecurity. And that is going to be like a way better explanation than I will be able to give here just for time's sake. But cybersecurity is more of a, I don't want to say less technical area, but it's just more broad. So there's parts of cybersecurity that involve coding. There's parts of cybersecurity that don't involve coding. It's just an umbrella. And there's a like a map of cybersecurity areas. Gosh, I can't think of the name of it. There's like a guy, it's one dude's like diagram, but essentially you have like a bunch of different areas of cybersecurity. You could probably just Google like areas of cybersecurity or something like that, and it would pop up. But there's just so many pieces of it. So you have like ethical hacking or vulnerability management or incident response. And you have things that are more like research and development and more like offensive. And then you have more of like the system upkeep and the more just like day-to-day cybersecurity jobs. So I hope that kind of helps of like to give you an idea of like all the different pieces of that you could pursue. But go check out my video about that, because I talk about how to get started, you know, all the different areas of cybersecurity. The video is called Beginner's Guide to Cybersecurity. So
that is one video that I watched last night too, and I thought it was very all-encompassing. So it was a very good primer to cyber in a way. So definitely check that out. Her YouTube channel is right there, the pinned comment. So I guess kind of pivoting just a little bit, you've talked about your experience in cybersecurity. You talked about your experience as a woman in STEAM. What advice would you give to maybe a young woman who's in high school who doesn't know what she wants to do with her life, but she wants to enter some kind of STEM field?
So my advice would be to let go of anything in your head that you have holding you back. So just let go of like, and you may not even be thinking of this, but for me, I was thinking about this, like, what if I'm the only girl in my class? Or like, what if I, you know, don't have the same opportunities? Let all that crap go and really just get down to the core of what you're really passionate about and what you want to do. And for some people, you know, what drives them is money or like titles or that sort of thing. So that if that's important to you, then go down that path. But other people have more of like they want to make a difference. And for me, that's my why. Like, I want to make a difference. And so if you want to make a difference, what can you do? Like, what areas of STEM do you want to go into? And I think the most important thing, which we've talked about, you know, basically this whole time, is just finding out what your purpose is. If you don't know, that's completely fine. You have plenty of time to test the waters and, you know, decide what you want to do and just completely be free. Don't put any pressure on yourself. Just let go of everything and just really get down to the bones of what you're passionate about and what you're interested in. And don't let anybody tell you anything that will steer you in the wrong direction. Just stay true to you and, you know, stay focused.
I love that. I love that advice. It is so important. Like we've said, having a purpose is what's going to carry you through. Like, full transparency to those of you who are watching who aren't yet in college or are just entering maybe a STEM field. And if you've never experienced this, I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but you will. Obstacles happen. Life sucks sometimes. Like, it just happens. That's what life is. And The passion that fuels your determination is what is going to get you through the times you failed a calculus test, or the
So
times
true.
that you didn't get an internship callback, or you know, the times that are really emotionally challenging in these fields. When you figure out your why, or if you're close to figuring out your why, if you're on that path, that's going to help you get over those moments and help you kind of continue even though it's hard, and continue even though you want to quit. That's I think something that is super important to start to find it. And I'm not saying that you're going to figure it out like tomorrow. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Like, it's something that you acquire over time, is figuring out that why. Maybe that's our biggest piece of advice so far, is
figure out your why. Yeah, that is great advice.
Determination.
Yeah.
So we got a couple of questions. Someone said, when did you guys start to realize your passion?
I think you said it exactly right earlier, that a lot of people discover what they're passionate about by first figuring out what they're not passionate about. And I feel like that was the case for both of us. For me, it was mechanical engineering. For you, it was biomedical engineering. And like, for me, I just kind of realized that like, wasn't my jam. And what I actually wanted to do, and what I was actually interested in doing, was in computer science. So that was me.
Yeah, I think that's important. And when you're on that journey and you do experience something that you're like, this is not what I want, just being aware of, it's okay to find something that you don't like, because that just means that you're on the right path to finding what you do like. So same for me in regards to my specific area of STEM. I found my passion because I was not willing to, in my mind, make myself suffer through a biomedical engineering career. And it took some time, and it took a lot of discussions with like my advisor and with my career development office to recognize what my aptitudes were and my interests were, to put me in the place that I could find passion. Even if it, in the beginning, I was like, it's still engineering, I'm still not going to like it. But once I, you know, trusted the process a little bit, and I started to realize, you know, oh, here's a really cool person that's in engineering technology management, and I kind of want their job someday, I could do that. Or this startup really needs an engineering technology management person, I could totally do that someday. So looking through, kind of like envisioning where you want to be, kind of that same, like, what's your end goal? I think that starts to help the passion in the current moment to help you get to where you want to be.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think also just being aware that, like, you're gonna fail, you're gonna really struggle, you're gonna have those days where you're like, well, I'm ready to drop out. I'm ready to be done with this. And those days are gonna come. And that doesn't mean it's not your passion. It just means you're facing some challenges, and that's okay. And to stay focused on like what your actual passion is, and being able to like listen to yourself enough to know, like, am I just like struggling? Is this hard, or am I really just not passionate about this? And that's like something I really had to come to terms with myself about, like, am I just really, like, is this something I'm just having to work really hard at, or is it something that I actually don't want to do? And, you know, just listening to yourself and that sort of thing too. So
right, definitely checking in with yourself is super important. So someone commented, I am a student computer engineering in Turkey. Welcome from Turkey. But I love software. I want to improve software area of myself. What can I do?
Well, definitely get better at coding. That's something that can always help in the computer science realm. I don't know if you're in college or whatever, but you know, improving your coding skills is always a good place to start. So
definitely. And even if you're in university or college, you can use all of those free resources online to just kind of get your feet wet, I guess. And see if maybe a certain programming language you've never tried before, maybe test it out. And just kind of my advice would be to research different careers in software that you might be interested in, and see what the job requirements are. So they may say, oh, you have to know 3 different coding languages in order to fulfill this job. So that can be your goal over time, right? Like you can learn 3 different coding languages to increase your software abilities and ability to code. And that way, if you wanted to apply for that job, you would be fully prepared.
True.
Okay, we got another question. I'm studying computer science and AI. I'm in 1 year and I've never coded before and I'm struggling to code. I always think that to code is very hard. How can I get rid of that mindset from my mind?
Well, I don't think it's ever really, like, I don't think you should get rid of the mindset that it's hard because it is hard. I think you should adopt the mindset of it's hard, but I can do it. And I think if you're really struggling, if you find yourself really struggling, the ability to pivot and maybe learn a different way or get extra help or, you know, change, if what you're doing right now isn't working, you have to be able to self-evaluate and be like, okay, what I'm doing right now, you know, the way I'm studying right now, the way this is going is not being successful. So what can I do to kind of pivot, and whether it's asking your professor for help or, you know, studying with your friends more or just changing your current MO to something else. I think that is a good way to kind of navigate if you're really just struggling with something. And yeah, I think it's okay for things to be hard, I guess, is essentially what I'm trying to say. And I don't think you should go into it thinking like, oh, this should come easy to me, because most of the people, it doesn't come easy to them. So I think that's completely normal. You just have to be able to get through it and change your ways a little bit. So
I love that. I think that's incredibly wise. it's kind of like, it's okay for it to be hard, and it's okay to fail. It's okay.
Yeah.
You can't let it defeat you. True. So knowing that it's hard, knowing that, like you said, it's something that you are capable of overcoming is a great mindset to adopt, not just in coding, but in life.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's another one. What preparations do I need to make before applying for internships? Do I need to prepare a resume or have a LinkedIn account? This is a really good question for anybody in any field.
Yeah, both of those things are, I would say, really important. I would say a LinkedIn is less important than a resume. A resume is like the most important thing, but a LinkedIn account never hurts, I would say.
Yeah, I think that having a resume that reflects you is important. And at most colleges or universities, there is a specific department that helps their students get into careers. So it's sometimes called career development, office of career management. There's lots of different names for it. But you can go in there, and if you've never made a resume before, or if you just copied a template off of a website, which is totally fine, you can go to them and have them proofread it or have a practice interview with you. If you've never been in an interview before, they can work with you to help develop some of those initial skills needed to get an internship. And sometimes they'll even help you search for an internship, depending on their capabilities. So I definitely recommend building a resume. LinkedIn, I think it depends on what field you want to go into. I think for more intrapersonal jobs, so jobs where you need to connect on social media, you probably should have a LinkedIn account. I think for maybe a lot of outward facing jobs, so public relations jobs or human resource management jobs, definitely should probably have a LinkedIn, because it just makes it easier for people to find you / recognize your skill set without having to request your resume. LinkedIn also has a lot of, I promise I'm not paid to promote LinkedIn. I realize that I sound like it, but I just am on LinkedIn all the time because of my job. But LinkedIn also offers a lot of professional and personal development training. So you can just watch videos on there to learn how to give an elevator pitch, like we talked about earlier, or learn how to build a resume, or learn how to send a cold email just saying, hi, I found out about your event and I really want to come. Lots of different opportunities on LinkedIn that I think are super, super valuable. Yeah. And to start building that If you choose to make a LinkedIn account, start building it early so that you begin to have an established network. So that once you do, maybe you're a freshman, you don't really need a LinkedIn account, but by the time you're a senior and you're getting ready to graduate, you'll have an established basically timeline of what you've accomplished throughout your university time, that when hiring managers are stalking you, because let's be honest, they do. when they're stalking you, they can see, oh, yes, they're a collegian who's getting ready to graduate. They don't have a ton of experience, but they do have experience volunteering with their local, I don't know, Girl Scout chapter, or volunteering with their, or they went to a national conference within a professional program. So I like LinkedIn. That was a long way to say
I like LinkedIn too. I think it's just one of those things that it will never hurt you to have. It's always just a good, you know, it's like the resume is the most important, but like a LinkedIn is like kind of like a more dynamic version of your resume in a way. So something to consider.
And I think the same can be said for having an online presence, like a YouTube channel. Shameless plug, follow Kiera on her YouTube channel. Just type in Kiera Page and give her a nice like and subscribe. And I actually think that we're about to get timed out of our live. I've just had so much fun talking to you. I have not been keeping track of time.
Me too.
So is there any final thoughts before we close out? Sorry, my dog is snoring.
Hi, Franco. Thank you for your comment. He had a really nice comment about us. But yeah, thanks, Franco. Yeah, this was so fun. I'm so glad we did this. You are so amazing. And this was such a good conversation. And yeah, we should totally do this again sometime. This was a great, great thing. And I feel like I hope we, you know, answered some of your questions in a helpful way. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed watching.
Yes, yes. I had such a great time connecting with you. And thank you to everyone in the comments who asked questions. I really enjoy when these are more like a conversation and less like a lecture. So
me
I'm
too.
Glad that y'all joined in and had really good questions to ask. So
And also, anyone from my end, you all should go follow Sierra because she's awesome. And
thank
we
you.
Have like the same name with a different letter. So
I know, I love that.
I know.
So I think what I'll do to close out is, one, tell everyone to follow you. So just follow Coding with Ki. I think there's a button somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
We don't know.
that you can give her a nice follow on Instagram. Also, again, shameless plug, give her a like and follow on her YouTube channel and be a part of that community that we've been discussing about building. Because I think we all need a support system. I love that you're doing it virtually, and I love that you had the foresight to do it even before COVID. So absolute kudos to you on that. I think it's phenomenal. So any questions, please feel free to DM us if we didn't get to your question. And I would love to do this again sometime. So I'll send you a DM and we'll maybe set up another one. So
totally. Yeah.
Thank you all for being here, and happy International Data Privacy Day.
Yes, happy Data Privacy Day. We didn't even talk about that.
Well, we did. We talked about cybersecurity, and we talked about how to get involved. So if you do need some tips on how to make sure your data is private, I did post a picture with like 3 tips how individuals can keep their data secure. So feel free to go check that out. And it was so good talking to you.
Me too.
Thank you all for joining in, and for more Let's Go Full Steam Ahead content, be sure to check us out at letsgofullsteamahead.com.